Bromance Podcast is sponsored by listeners like you and by Golden Lux Candles. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Want that love that you see in the rom-coms? Check out Golden Lux Candles. We have intentional candles ready to be set. They're featuring their That's the Way Love Goes candle right now on their website. This candle is charged with the intention of love. Are you looking to open your heart to love? Whether your intention is self-love, platonic love, romantic love. Okay, I'm sorry. This is more times I've said love than ever. And I'm about to get Beetlejuiced. You know, it's like, no, my kryptonite.
Ah. Never finds love again because he said it three times in a mirror with these candles lit.
Yeah, it's like Bloody Mary. But yeah, no, go to Golden Lux Candles or on Instagram at Golden, L-U-X-E. Candles. And then from there you can go to their Etsy shop. If you use code bromance, you can get a discount, you know. So Golden Lux Candles, they have candles dedicated to love, but these aren't just like light it and it smells like something. These are candles infused with intentions. Now, I read all the Harry Potter books. I know a lot about magic, witchcraft, so like, you know, I presume within these candles there's like your lover's hair will be implanted into these candles, and that when you burn it, you know, they'll then want you.
Set a Polyjuice potion on fire is really what we're putting down here.
So remember, go to Instagram, go to at Golden, L-U-X-E, candles. Use promo code BROMANCE, all caps, B-R-O-M-A-N-C-E. Get yourself a candle. Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Becca.
What am I doing with my life? What's wrong with me? Why can't I connect with people?
I think you're in your head too much, man. It's either that or you were recently bitten by a member of the living undead and now are one of them, having an introspective moment while also potentially falling in love.
I do crave brain, if you know what I mean. Hi, I'm Boca.
And I love good brain.
And welcome to the Bromance Podcast. It's two dudes talking about romantic comedies because love is dead, movies are real, and Garrett is currently ill, so maybe he got infected by a zombie shit. We're doing warm bodies. Garrett's getting colder by the day.
I got a 99.5 fever, a pocket full of dreams, and a negative COVID test result. So I have that vintage 2019 pre-COVID bug.
People forgot that you can just be sick, you know?
Yeah.
There's sometimes you have the flu or a cold. Tell him I go get my flu shot. With the way this earth is, let me not risk it. But yeah, hope you feel better, dude.
Thanks, man. So yeah, I'm going to be, this is going to be a hot, sloppy episode.
And I did take an edible earlier too. So that's always a ticking time bomb whenever we record. Again,
will it release?
Apologies to Ari, who came on our Miscongeniality episode where I was just giggling like a buffoon. But you know, I think that people like that. It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Veritas filmmaking, Veritas. I don't know. I didn't pay attention in film school.
Dutch angles, am I right?
Mise-en-scene or mise-en-place, one's for cooking, one's for shooting. I don't know. And I love the Dutch. All right.
Ovens.
Shut up. Why did you pick this movie? Both asking for the podcast and asking.
Yeah. So my picks this season were like, I think I saw yours and I was like, okay, these are like movies that are like good, but I don't think I think they're good movies that are like, you know, well-reviewed and of quality. So I need to pick movies that are going to be out of left field, mix up the genres, and potentially be really fucking awful, so we have something to talk about. And these are all movies I'd never seen, because that was the other thing. I'm getting in a rut of, like, picking movies I've already seen, because I know all of an opinion about them, and then I'm too into myself. So these were every movie I've picked this entire season I've never seen. And, with the exception of He's Just Not That Into You, that I did see. That was my one gimme from me to me. But this movie fucking blows, man. We're not even going to bury the lead. It's like, it's the worst type of movie because it's not bad enough. Like, it's not a Sharknado where it's like you can shit on it. And it's not like, an Oscar. Well, I have an Oscar movies are great. It's literally just bad. It's just mediocre. It's just there's nothing here.
It's tepid. It's soft. And a quick runtime at 90. Oh, and also just going back 1 second, folks will be like, what movies did Boca pick? What movies did Garrett pick? Garrett picked Couples Retreat, Long Shot, Warm Bodies, The Wedding Ringer, and He's Just Not That Into You, which was our season premiere. I picked Easy A, The Princess Bride, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, The Big Sick, and Never Been Kissed. So
yeah, all those are good movies.
That was on purpose. I was like, it's we sometimes you have to force yourself, you know, behind the scenes for everyone listening, behind the curtain. Sometimes like
our life's very hard.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to watch this movie, right? You've had that thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, every one of my movies is one of those movies for me.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I've seen Long... I won't tell you about Long Shot, but at least okay. At least two of those, I'm like, oh, these aren't the worst, but yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but with Warm Bodies, the background, it's about zombies, came out 2013, stars Nicholas Hoult, a.k.a. Second Beast, a.k.a. Young Boy from About a Boy, and Teresa Palmer. I want some Rob Corddry in the small role from Dave Franco and Leo Tipton, who we saw from fucking American version of Love Actually, but what, not the other one. She was the babysitter to Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah. Crazy Stupid Love.
Crazy Stupid Love. She was in that. Apparently she was in America's Next Top Model. They really had to like just hit her with an ugly stick then for Crazy Stupid Love. Yes, we did.
Also, this. John Malkovich,
John fucking Malkovich, aka Teddy KGB. I will not be pushed around. Pay that man his money. Have you seen Rounders yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, yeah. So you know the vibes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know the fucking vibes.
I just am like, he's always that. He's always like the unhinged loon, kind of, in a lot of these movies. But like in this one, it's just like, and we'll get to that. But he's just like counterproductive. Oh, like yeah. It would be like someone comes to your front door. Well, I mean, that's a little too close to home. There's a global pandemic. Someone comes to your front door. We have the cure, and someone goes, "I don't trust it. Let's shoot it in the face."
Well, we'll get to that when we get to that. Should we get into the movie?
Let's just fucking get into the movie, man.
All right. So,
do you start? Do you want to start?
I got it. I got Wikipedia open here. That's gonna help us.
Hit me with some wiki.
All right. 8 years after a zombie apocalypse, right? We got a zombie named R. He knew his name started with an R. He doesn't know the rest, so he just goes by R. And he does his zombie shit. He wanders. He eventually rolls out with other zombies to eat humans. And the weird zombie twist of this universe is they can talk like a little bit. I can give you they talk like Stevie from Malcolm in the Middle, where it's like a breath in between every sentence or every word. Yeah. That and eating brains gives you the memories, at least temporarily, of the person whose brains you ate. Cool.
Yes.
R has his friend M, and M is Rob Corddry, and they do zombie shit. So zombies are going out hunting for food, and they encounter a plucky group of young teens straight out of fucking Maze Runner, who are looking for supplies in this episode of fucking Resident Evil. And so, all right.
And they line them up in their little camp. It's one of those, like, because you said Hunger Games, it's like one of those things where it's like, we need supplies. So we've gathered 17 to 21 year olds with limited military experience for this mission. And all of you are white.
Fucking Leo Tipton's character is Ethiopian in the book, but they said, nah, give me some Caucasian.
I didn't even know this was based off a book.
It was based off a book. I didn't know that until I went to Wikipedia. But no, you gotta remember, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Zordon said, hey, I want plucky teens with attitude, okay? He didn't say, give me Navy SEALs to fight Rita Repulsa. He's like, give me the coolest kids in this suburb.
He was honest and upfront. He's like, hey, I'm gonna put these kids in spandex leotards that are all rainbow colored. I need people that are not gonna take this too seriously.
No, the cool kids today wouldn't have been the Power Rangers because they would have thought they were too good for it. Yeah.
They would have.
These kids today with their iPhones and the TikTok dances, man.
They don't appreciate it.
I'm 26.
When why can't we get the generation back that would be kidnapped by a mystery floating white head in a jar and say, thank you, sir. Let me dance for my dinosaur.
It's morphin' time. And then you just start Millie rocking. It's
fucking morphin' time.
Yeah. I love Power Rangers. We're going to talk more about that in this movie because at least I like Power Rangers.
Yeah. There's also not a lot of script in this movie. So I feel like we can really move through this bitch fast.
Because also it was Romeo and Juliet.
It was.
Yeah, except it's zombies, so it's like clearly one side is in quote unquote in the wrong. So whatever. So the plucky teens with attitudes come through, and the zombies are like, we eat y'all, and they got to work. Several of them die, including Dave Franco. He was too good for this at this time. He did fucking 21 Jump Street a year before.
Yeah, and I think he was probably filming Neighbors. So it's just like, why did you take like a bit part in a movie where you die instantly? Like, this could have been anyone. I could have done this role.
Yeah, we could ask the same question about fucking John Malkovich though, but he's a wild card.
Yeah, he does fucking, he's kind of got a little Nick Cage in him where it's like, I got a mortgage to pay. Fuck it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. All right. So, we're zombies and we're winning because it's a zombie apocalypse. So we're knocking down these teens with attitude. And we're eating Dave Franco out. And then the girl, again, Nicholas Hoult zombie R, eats a brain. Dave Franco's character is going out with main girl. Ooh, what's her name?
Fuck.
Right.
Oh, this movie was so forgettable that like no one. Mm-mm. Oh, it's probably like something stupid. Like, is it like literally Juliet or Julie?
It's Julie.
There we go. It was only because of the R. Fucking That's R and Julia. Yeah.
Yep. So, between her being hot and Nicholas Hoult's zombie just eating her now dead boyfriend's brains and therefore having his memories, he is attached to her. I think he was attached to her even before he ate the brains, but put that.
Yeah, he has like a Scrubs running internal monologue for fucking every moment of his life, despite being a zombie that he's well aware of. And so it's like he like locks eyes with her. I think even pre brains is kind of like, wow, she's holding a shotgun trying to kill me. It's kind of hot.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And Garrett means Scrubs as in JD medicine, yes. Hospital shit, not no Scrubs TLC or the actual clothing. I now want you, but I'm a zombie and I can't really speak, which goes hand in hand with being a zombie. So
it does.
He gets all up in her face when her shotgun's empty and sniffs her. And then he rubs zombie blood on her to cover her scent, except it looks like feces. And I'm like, oh Christ. It probably smells like feces.
It looks like shit every single time. It looks like slightly red motor oil.
Yeah. And so, okay, I'm kind of kidding. I'm saving you. I'm kidnapping you. And we go back to our zombie hangout, which is like an airport. I think it's like Toronto or some shit. So zombie R, he has his house. His home is an airplane. He likes to collect shit. He was always more human than the other zombies. He likes to collect shit. He has an internal monologue. Did every zombie in this film that wasn't already a quote unquote bony, every zombie that's still a zombie, have this level of I'm trapped in the zombie body going on in their head?
They almost would have to for the solution to the zombie apocalypse to ever come true because it's so fucking stupid and contrived and comes out of left field that everyone has to be having a Hoult experience or otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Which is actually extremely tragic. The idea like, oh, you're
a
zombie is like you're, imagine like being awake in a coma. The same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, your brain works kind of fully, but now A, you need to eat humans. B, you can't really move nice. You probably couldn't write cursive. And you can't get words out. So.
Well, you know, that's like, isn't there like a fly or an ant or something that's like in, I think it's in Africa that like goes into frogs' eyes or through their nose and then wraps themselves around their brain and just makes them do whatever the fuck they want. And they like have them go all the way to the top of trees and get eaten by birds so they can take over the birds. And it like, they're aware of what's happening, but they have no control of their own bodies. It's like that. Nature's fucking metal, man.
I actually do know what you're talking about. I think, did you just see it on Reddit this week?
Oh, no. I watched it on Planet Earth when I was like 15.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's fucking horrifying.
Oh yeah. It seems terrible. That's a nightmare worse than death. Was that a good transition?
Yeah.
Right. So Julie is now in a fucking airplane with a zombie that's clearly sentient, but still you're a fucking zombie. So I'm terrified. It's a zombie apocalypse. But don't worry. He's going to put on some vinyl. Is this a commentary on masculinity? Let's make it about something bigger than it is.
I don't think it is. I think it literally is just like, I mean, if it was a commentary on anything, it's fucking dating in the apocalypse is so hard up that you're like, well, he's dead from the neck up, but he also doesn't have a pulse. So that doesn't even work. He technically exists and has yet to try to kill me. Let's see where this goes. Maybe he has some sick vinyl.
You know, I complain about dating every other episode of this podcast, but really that's dating for women. He's like, man, I sure hope I don't get murdered. Maybe this one's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but my Julie in the movie, she's definitely not dating. She's kidnapped. Did he help or no?
I mean, he helped in that. I think if he didn't smear the small amount of blood on her face, she would be eaten alive.
Yeah, but then she didn't have to go with them.
I mean, yeah, but she's lightweight kidnapped. But he's a zombie, so I mean, I feel like of the crimes that he could have committed, this is pretty low, you know?
It's definitely not
it's how like she a thought. Cute casual crime.
Yeah. So, yeah, if however she thought the fucking day would pan out, it wouldn't be a zombie playing fucking Jefferson Airplane for her. In an airplane. Yeah. So overall, she's, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Zombie R goes not to sleep, eats more boyfriend brain, learns more about boyfriend. Yep. Julie's like, thank you. Can I go? and R, he wants to fuck. I'll put it more generously. He's in love. Ugh, you don't know her, whatever.
His heart started beating throughout this whole thing. He's slowly getting less pale.
That's actually important. When did the heart first beat? Do you remember?
Yeah, he like brings her. She's in the plane. It's before the albums thing. Mm-hmm. He like brings her a blanket, and then she's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Why are you being nice to me?" He's like, "It's not safe," or something. And then he like sits down in the seat next to her and hits the button so he can recline his chair. And then they hit us with a fucking Dutch angle. And then his
film school.
So then you're like, because it's from his perspective, so he's leaning back. And then you like they go through his shirt where she had just tried to stab him in the chest, and it's like his heart like beats one time. And I'm like, it's the power of love. The problem with the zombies is they weren't in love, so they started eating people.
Yeah, it's like the Grinch. He got Grinched.
Yeah, big Grinch.
Yeah.
Also, if you're not willing to completely just eat shit and buy into the premise of the movie, if you pull on any thread in this poorly assembled quilt, the whole fucker's gone down. So you just have to go, yep, that's how the world works.
Yeah, because, all right, the idea that the way to cure zombieism is to feel love then makes it be like, oh, so this was a magical zombie curse. Normally we got to the sci-fi zombie curse of, oh no, some sort of disease is turning us into thing that looks exactly like zombies, like we know from pop culture. Or was it? What's the other way we normally see zombies come up? I don't know. But this one, it's like, oh, what? Did the fucking witch from Beauty and the Beast be like, all of humanity will descend into zombies unless they love? Okay.
Fine. Exactly.
Yeah. So, heartbeat, they hang out, they drive. Oh, you'll like this. What was the car they were driving?
Oh, BMW Z4. It was like probably like a 2013. Oh, the movie came out in 2014, 2013. So it would have been like that same model year. Mm-hmm. Bright red, really nice. They like, it was funny because they like, it's supposed to be an old kind of beat on car.
Yeah.
But all they really did was just take a brand new car and lightly powder it in dust. Like, it's like everything's fucking flawless on the whole car.
I mean, it's
the same way. Yeah, that was cool.
It's the same way it'll be the apocalypse, and then folks are like, oh man, yeah, we don't have fucking potable water, so no, I'm not showering. Yet some like female characters will still have full fucking mascara.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So they get to know each other. Montage. Yay. But she's like, can I go fuck? Even if it is cool.
It's still not safe. It's still not, and somewhere in here, like she does like leave. And like sneak off and try to like run through the airport. And then she sees a shit ton of zombies and he's like magically finds her from behind and is like, oh, not safe more. And then like takes more like cat shit and smears it across her forehead, which like, okay, let's inverse this, right?
Oh no.
Let's say we could smell like shit and we couldn't smell cologne. If you took two pumps of cologne and sprayed my forehead, but the whole rest of my body is covered in human shit, I would still smell like human shit.
Yeah.
Just because you put two little fingers of turd across my forehead doesn't mask all the rest of me that's not turd covered. Like, at least the Walking Dead did have a lot of faults, but at least one of them was that they would like literally cover their entire body in blood, guts, shit to make themselves smell so horrible that they could walk through the zombies. It wasn't like you just got a little, you know, Chanel number 5 under each earlobe and just said, I'm going out on the town.
But the way Nicholas Holt puts the zombie shit blood on Julie is the way fucking Rafiki marks Simba's forehead. It's like,
yeah,
it is time. And but she just tried not to gag.
Yep.
Yeah. So there, I think either he's down with this, like, fine, you can go, or she's trying to sneak out again, right? Rob Corddry, aka zombie best friend to Nicholas Hoult, also shows up and is like, in zombie terms, he's like, what the fuck? She's human. We eat humans. And he's like, no, yeah, she's different or she's special. I don't know. And he's like, fuck that. But he's like, I'm mad, but you're my only zombie friend, right? But then the bonies.
Yeah. So there's like, there's these bony things that are just like the actual zombies, really, because they're so far gone and so emaciated and so like just skeletons with enough skin to technically be still moving humans, mm-hmm, that all they'll eat anything with a pulse, and like they literally don't give a fuck. And so then they're like, she has a pulse and we give a fuck. And then they start attacking, and then they get in the BMW and he helps and they drive away.
Yeah. Romeo and Juliet drive away in the BMW. And yeah, on the way back to human camp, which is surrounded by a high ass wall like Attack on Titan. And they're like, all right, let's stop in a house. Cause why did they have to stop? Did the car die?
She's just like, I'm tired. I want to
sleep. Because he can't drive. And she's like, I got to sleep. I don't know how far out were they?
They try. I don't know. It didn't seem like they seemed. Well, I mean, it was nighttime, but I don't know. Probably a couple hours.
They walked. Because Julie and them walked to the metropolitan area where they're looking for supplies. The zombies walked from the airport to, okay, walking from the airport to the suburbs would be a giant pain in the ass. Whatever.
Yeah.
This movie, it doesn't matter.
No, this movie just does not matter. Don't even watch this movie. Most of the time, this podcast works because you've watched the movie and we're all talking about the movie. Fuck the movie. Don't waste your time on the movie. Listen to this and then like clean. Do some laundry. Think about yourself.
Yeah.
Don't watch the movie.
That was a sterling endorsement. So this was where I was, despite not watching the movie, this next scene, I was like, you can't see me, but I'm looking over my glasses like a stern librarian, like, ayo. All right, she lights a lamp, it's functionally a candle, and it's late, and we've gotten to know each other over the course of this journey, and we do our fucking rom-com podcast. Is she about to fuck a zombie? And then, because at one point she's like, you can sleep on the floor in my room if you want, and it's like,
but that rigor mortis do though, hey,
exactly,
everything stiff.
Yeah, only one thing still pumping. Vada boom. Hey. Yeah, they don't fuck. Sorry.
No, they don't. That would have been too much.
I'm glad they didn't, frankly, but it would have been spicy.
It would have been something, all right.
It would have got our attention. Yeah.
Again, every scene he can talk more and is less pale and looks a little bit more alive.
Yeah.
And so it's like becomes a little bit less off-putting over time, but like he still has like multiple stab wounds and like gunshot holes, and like his knees are all torn up in a way where it's like you can see the cartilage. So it's like he's definitely not alive.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think this is when, after she's telling him, like, man, I feel really close to you, and she blah, blah, blah. He's like, I killed your boyfriend, Dave Franco. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here's his watch.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was the worst way to do it. And I looted the corpse. Say it.
He's just like, here's the watch.
Here's the loot from the corpse. You have right to it.
Yeah.
So then he wakes up the next day and she's gone, right?
Yeah, well, he's gone.
Oh, I thought she ditched him.
Well, because he has that dream that was like, they're all having a picnic, and like, yeah, he's at the picnic and they're like, are you having dreams again? He's like, yeah, when we're all here. And she's like, yeah. And like, do you really think that I'm going to end up with you and this is all going to be fine and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I don't know, maybe, and some shit. Again, you can tell we both paid attention to this movie because it was so riveting and good. And basically, he wakes up with the realization of, like, he starts sprinting out of the house, like, what the fuck was I thinking? Of course, this isn't going to end up well. Of course, we're not going to end up together. Like, I'm a fucking member of the undead. And she's, like, a beautiful girl that, like, I happen to have a crush on. But again, I ate her boyfriend. Like, when was this ever going to work? And I was like, well, you had me up until and I ate her boyfriend. I feel like that was the real deal breaker, you know? Boca, I can't hear a thing you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
There you go. So That's the deal breaker. And our Romeo starts walking back to Zombie Airport as if he's so fucking welcome there. But on his way to Zombie Airport, he runs into Rob Corddry and them. And they're like, yo, after seeing you two hold hands, we remember that people hold hands. And now our hearts are beating. That was not enough human love to make your heart beat.
Because like, okay, you're telling me through the entire global apocalypse, you have not watched families cling to each other in a loving manner, screaming for dear life as you ate their faces. You've seen human beings care for one another and try not to have their faces eaten. And you know what you did? You ate them face first. And you keep eating, and you haven't stopped eating. And now you watch one of your own get like a semi-chub for 5 minutes, and you're like, you know what? I think it's time we turn back into people. Honestly, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck everyone. Fuck the plot. Fuck the screenplay. Fuck the book it's based on. Fuck the director. Fuck the cast. Fuck everyone. I'm sick.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is not the Garrett, the people of Ilsen. You're supposed to be the sugar, and I'm the spice.
No, today, I'm the spice.
All right. Your bubbles.
Snails, what is it? What is it? Snails, whales, and puppy dog tails?
Oh, to make the rowdy rough boys. Boys. Rowdy rough yeah, boys, gang rough. Shit.
Hey, gang gang.
Garrett throwing up gang signs at the Zoom window is really just him flapping his hands like he's trying to fly.
Hey, my wrist don't have bones.
Oh, no. All right. So the zombies have hearts, and Romeo already has a heart. All right, cool. We're going to human headquarters. We're gonna march. This will go well. Just as well. Yep. Yeah, anyway. They go. But R, since after eating Dave Franco's brain, he knows a way to sneak into human headquarters in the apocalypse. So he does. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does, and he's there. And he's down on the ground, and Julie is up on the balcony. And I'm like, hey, Romeo and Juliet.
It's the scene from The Thing.
It's The Thing that we did in ninth grade. Yep. So, okay, she's like...
I was like, Mercutio.
You were Mercutio?
Yeah.
So was I.
Hey! We should start a podcast about rom-coms. So then he, like, smooth talks his way upstairs, and then she has a friend, and they're like, "What? We could sneak you around if we gave you a makeover," and he's like, makeup and shit, and they're like, you betcha. And then they play the Pretty Woman soundtrack as they start to do his makeup.
Well, first they play it because the girl Leo Tipton, at least she's self-aware. She's like, "Whoa, we're doing a montage." But then main girl is like, "Stop!" Because I don't know, whatever. Change the song.
Two on the nose. We can't afford the licensing rights.
Yeah, we can only play 20 seconds of this. But they play Pretty Woman for a little bit. They make him up. Now he just like looks like Nicholas Holt, which I'm like still pale.
But he's British, so that's the best they can do.
True, but no, not in this movie. Plus, he's a zombie. We let us not forget he needs to eat human flesh.
He does still keep kind of snacking on boyfriend brain throughout most of this.
Oh, God. Does that keep well?
Does he care?
Exactly. Like, does it matter if you're a zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but mind you, the whole plan is to bring the zombie boy to Juliet's dad, who's in charge of the human base, and be like, at least some of these zombies seem to be changing and developing more and more human traits and characteristics. The dad is a zombie bigot, but it's the apocalypse.
Yeah, so it's like they try to paint them as like this unfeeling asshole, but I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, but like all of humanity's been eaten alive by the undead, and now you're like, one of them's a good one. And they're like, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Your mother was eaten ass first by a zombie. Your boyfriend had just had his guts ripped out of him. And everyone we've known has had their fucking soul snatched. So now all of a sudden you like met a zombie, you think's kind of chill. I'm shooting them in the face. That's what you do.
They didn't frame it right either. She was like, look, all the zombies are changing because this one is like, don't even put it that way. It's like, it appears as though this zombie in particular somehow blah, blah, blah. Don't even if you want to, I mean, the alternate sad, scary way it could go is like, fine, we'll keep him alive. We'll torture him, extract information, and vivisect him. But glad they didn't go, but still, it's like, don't make it about like, oh, it's everybody. It's like, huh, it seems like some there's inter-zombie conflict that we can exploit is how you frame it.
Yeah. Yes.
So okay, dad's an asshole, but then it's like, oh no, all the bonies, all the skeletal ass super zombies, the leaders of the pack, yeah, are running towards base. But then Rob Corddry and the now more human regular zombies are fighting, yeah, the alpha zombies.
Yeah.
As Romeo and Juliet run through a stadium that's who been gives abandoned. A
fuck? Yeah.
We're almost there. We're almost there.
It's so
you did this.
I know I did this. They all get on the same emotional level at the same time and are all like, you fell in love and we all fell in love via you, via not seeing your relationship at all. But M said it was good. So we're all here and we're gonna fight as a team because we're zombies in love with your girl. And they beat up the boners, and the boners are like, oh, we're gonna get you. And they're like, no, you're not, the power of love. And then they pick up like random objects and they save the people. And there's a soldier and he's like gonna die. But then one of the zombies is like, die, boner, die. And he smashes him in the face. And the guy's like, oh my God, you saved me. And then they like hold hands and then everything's fine. Cause fuck this movie.
Garrett is spiraling. And frankly, I love it.
I'm out of control. I don't care. Fuck this movie.
Okay. We're almost done. So the climax, right? All right. They've been running. Fucking Romeo and Juliet have been running away from, I think, the human soldiers. Right. And so they find themselves out on a high ass ledge above water. So it's like, oh no, where are we going to go now? It's like, well, Juliet, you don't got to worry. They're not going to shoot you. But fine. You know,
the boners are running at him.
Oh, the boners and or soldiers means nobody's good.
No, it's not even soldiers. It's legit just boners. And he's like, I'll protect you, which also fucking so, I'm sorry, but I have to tee off one more time. So fucking stupid. Imagine if you're like 150 to 200 yep. feet in the air on top of like what looks like a nuclear power plant, but it's really the top of an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
And then you have maybe 8 to 12 feet of water below you and you fall that distance and you're just holding onto a girl. And you are going to take the brunt of the force, but she's going to take the brunt of the force of you. Mm. You're hitting water. I get that's as hard as concrete, but she's hitting another human being. I'm going to go ahead and say terminal velocity. It's about 120 miles an hour. So go ahead, picture your boyfriend or a girlfriend, and then imagine hitting them at 120 miles an hour. Y'all dead.
Not only that, but like I said, the water was not deep. It wasn't a pool. It wasn't the ocean. It was like a pond that you would see or a fountain you'd see in front of a stadium, so it's not deep. Yeah. They're going to hit that, and they're 100%. They're parallel to the earth, so it's like imagine a backflop, not a belly flop, but a backflop. Yeah. He backflops, she lands on him, and then they're both fucking fine.
He would be fine because he's still technically he's a zombie. Kind of undead.
Yeah,
she should be fucked. And yes. then they do like the what was the not Mary Jane Watson, but the other one, the Spider-Man? Other love interest.
Gwen Stacy.
So spoiler alert, but who cares? Gwen Stacy in the comics and also that
Amazing master, Spider-Man
Andrew
2.
Garfield one. Yeah. She like gets whiplash and her head hits the back of a concrete floor and she dies. They do the same thing with him where it's like his head hits the ground when they land and you're like, did he die? I hope he didn't die. And she like pulls him up and he's like, oh, I'm asleep for 4 seconds. I'm alive. Joke's on you.
Yeah, and then fucking John Malkovich shoots him again.
They shoot him in the heart.
Oh, was that the right side?
In the heart, right through the heart. And yet he like starts bleeding out because he's been shot in the fucking heart. And they're like, he's alive. It shows he's alive because he got shot in the fucking heart and is bleeding out.
Regular
so he's
blood.
Alive.
Not
yeah, and all
blood.
The soldiers, exactly. And all the soldiers are like, they don't bleed. He must be alive. And he's like, I'm dying. I'm alive.
I'm not about I'm to like, be.
Idiots. He's dead now, but he's not. All of a sudden, they move the bullet hole to his shoulder. And then in the next scene, it's his shoulder now. And I'm like, well, the scene before it, he was shot in the chest through where your heart lives. But now, via the power of this horseshit movie, the 16 caliber assault light rifle round that went through his heart is in his shoulder. Cause fuck it.
So
Yeah, and then he's in a truck, and the guy's like, hey, you still bleeding? He's like, I'm still bleeding. I'm a zombie. I'm going to fuck your daughter. He's like, not you, not yet, you bastard. And then everyone high fives. They blow up the wall and fuck this movie.
And more zombies become human. They tear down the wall, which is a metaphor for barriers between interpersonal connection. And then, like, Rob Corddry hits on a woman who's not at all ready for this shit. Garrett's doing a jerk-off emoji or jerk-off motion gesture. Yeah. That's the film. Who did you love, Garrett?
Everyone should die. Everyone should have died in the opening scene. I have a fever of 99.5, and I've had it for 4 consecutive days. It's still not COVID, but fuck me. Andrew, what's his face? Not Andrew Garfield. Nicholas Holt. That's not his name. Nick Lachey. I thought Nick Lachey was great in this movie. I loved him in About a Boy. He's great in this. Big, big Beast Boy man. Huge fan. Honestly, he's the only thing that made this watchable, and he wasn't even very good in it. Rob Corddry, I'm a big fan. He should have not even have been in this. This was a paycheck movie. Dave Franco, honestly, why do you, who hurt you? The Julia girl,
she wasn't great. She could
have died opening scene.
I was looking her up. I was like, no, sorry for cutting you off. I was just saying, I was looking her up. I was like, what else have you done? She was in I Am Number 4, this, and like, nothing really. Nothing.
Honestly,
Sorcerer's Apprentice. A whole lot of YA adapted books type beats.
Yeah, I hated everyone. Here's what I liked. The only character in this movie I liked is at the very end they show all the zombies like coming back to life. And there was one guy who was trying to learn how to play catch with another guy, and he keeps having a softball thrown at his chest. I liked him.
Okay. Oh, I liked Nora, yes, Leo Tipton. I like Leo Tipton, so I liked her. Yeah, but otherwise didn't care. Do they last?
No. Or yeah, I don't care.
Okay. It's the apocalypse, maybe.
In the world they establish, if I'm following my own fucking stupid rule, they probably, sure. Dating in the apocalypse is like getting married in 1850. You can't really leave your town. There's nothing fuck all to do. There's like 4 other viable options, and they're probably all married anyway. So be together until somebody dies of polio.
Polio, damn.
This is why we don't podcast when I'm sick.
Yeah, I like this energy. You know, it's active.
A lot of people, negative.
People don't hate this movie's thing. It has like a 60 on Metacritic.
That is too high.
Right.
See, in my defense, I was like, oh, this will be like another Scott Pilgrim versus the World. There's only so many times I can watch 2 marketing executives in New York City in giant apartments go, oh, my God, you're hot and rich. I'm hot and rich. What would happen if we bumped uglies? Like, I was like, maybe this will be a good flip on the genre. They'll have fun with it. It'll be kind of comic booky. No, someone farted in a fan. And then we're just here standing in front of the fan going, God, I wish no one farted, you know?
It's very reminiscent of the period in which when I was in high school. You know, it's of the same era. Because it came in 2013. You're already in college.
I know, but I feel like my senior year is your freshman year. It's still the same.
Was it?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm old, man. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. He's almost
2010. Were you a freshman?
20.
I'll kill myself if not.
I was. In the spring of
2010. Here we go, man.
Spring of 2010, I was a freshman in high school.
There it is. Love that.
Yeah, so this movie's fine. I gave it like a, I'm gonna lower the score now. I gave it 2.5 stars. That's 5.
Oof. Five. This is 2.5 stars out of 10 for me.
That's, I can see how you got there. I don't love it. Yeah. I'm not in love with
this. This movie was made. It exists. That's the 2.5. That's hard to even get a film made. That's all they did. They made a film and it exists.
They made a film. All right, we're gonna pause for a second.
And you're standing on your 5. You're standing on your 5, though. Your 5 stays.
5 out of 10. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's technically sound. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I maybe have grade inflation. I don't know. Because I didn't abhorrently hate it. I was very bored. It was very whatever. Actually, I wasn't bored. I was engaged at the time because like, yo, this is kidnapping. This is like, what if Quasimodo had a hot gypsy girl up there.
Yeah.
With him, it's like, is this fucked? This is fucked, kind of. And that's
kind of fucked.
At least it made me think, and I was like, yo, this is fucked.
I don't think that was intentional, though. I think that was just you having a good think. I don't think they even intended for that to be riveting. This movie isn't as effective as using a fishing net as a condom. Fucking ineffective as fuck is what that means.
We say it's no shit, Garrett. Don't explain your metaphor. We say it's ineffective. What do we think it was trying to do? Was it trying to say something about loneliness? I thought it was trying to say something about loneliness. It was trying to say something about loneliness.
Okay, fine. If you're walking through life kind of dead, going through the motions, and they meet the one, and then she brings something out in you, and then other people see what she brought out in you, and then they're all inspired. We all jerk each other off.
I mean, Jesus. Why does that always end with an orgy with you?
Everyone finishes, and then the Berlin Wall comes down, and everyone goes, thank you, Ronald, and we go home.
That is not how it happened.
The Cold War ended because the zombies lost, everyone came, and the Berlin Wall fell.
Yeah.
If that movie's doing anything, it's teaching us accurate history.
First one, fuck every Ronald you can think of. Fuck Reagan, fuck McDonald, fuck kind of end of list. But I don't know. I thought it was about loneliness or some shit. His vinyl was funny, and I like Leo Tipton. So five is not a sterling recommendation. That's not a passing grade. Whatever.
I know, but this feels generous, but I'll respect it.
Okay. I don't think we have anything else to talk about. Thank you, Garrett, for fighting through. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Be sure to follow us at Podcast Bromance on Twitter and Instagram, anchor.fm/bromancepod to see like our website thingy and look at all the past episodes or Spotify or Apple or Amazon or wherever. Garrett, you got anything you want to plug?
No. I'm honestly, I just want to feel good again. I just want next week for me to be back on my bullshit that love's great and the universe is awesome and we don't need to launch this movie into the sun.
Well, you know, a boy can dream, can't he?
He can, man. He can. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.